Well, it's Kelly here at 606, and I got a couple of brave candidates here. And at the last minute, I've got a hold of some people. I very stupidly depended on others to get phone numbers for me, and they never came through with that. No biggie, though. I found my own numbers and should have done it before, but you know how that goes. I think I'm going to get almost everybody on the show who's running for office right now. That's my goal. Everybody has been contacted at this point and invited. And believe it or not, even Mayor Ken has been invited on the show. And God bless him. Sometimes you meet people and it almost seems like they've been sent from heaven to help out other human beings. Although I certainly would not say that about Mayor Ken. But Mayor Ken and I are locked in a little struggle here. And not really conservative versus liberal. It's really, maybe it's a personality conflict. I know that Mayor Ken has got a lot of great qualities, some of which I'm sure I don't even know about. But in any event, there was a debate last night. And Mayor Ken, I know you're listening in. Feel free to call in. Tomorrow, I know you're not going to be coming in from what I've heard, but feel free tomorrow to call in. I know you're going to be sitting around in your bathrobe and your slippers listening into the show. You're more than welcome to call in if that's the way it's got to be. Anyway, I've got on the show today, which we're going to have on in just a minute, I've got Rich Hall, who's been on before, and then Gilbert Vasquez. And Gilbert was very kind enough. I only was able to get a hold of him yesterday, but he's coming. He came in this morning, and I was impressed by that. And obviously, very, very happy. Okay, so we had a thing go on yesterday, and I want you to hear some of it. I'm going to take this first section and I want you to hear what happened in the debate. It was probably the most biased thing I've ever seen in my life. I was tired and I was sitting there. I was just hoping to enjoy it. I was just sitting there rubbing my eyes. I couldn't believe how biased it was. And the thing that got me is there were biased questions. There were gotcha questions. The thing I think that stuck out in my mind the most was that it seemed to me the moderators were laughing at the candidates. I've never seen that before. So anyway, two guys and a lady, and here is a question that's going to Mike Huckabee. And I thought all of the candidates handled themselves well in this debate, but check this out.
In the big coastal cities like New York and Los Angeles, as a preacher as well as a politician, you know that presidents need the moral authority to bring the entire country together. The leading Republican candidate, when you look at the average of national polls right now, is Donald Trump. When you look at him, do you see someone with the moral authority to unite the country?
You know, as few questions I've got, the last one I need is to give him some more time. I love Donald Trump. He is a good man. I'm wearing a Trump tie tonight. Get over that one, okay?
Such a nasty question, but thank you, Governor.
You're welcome. Let me tell you, Donald Trump would be a better president every day of the week and twice on Sunday rather than Hillary. I've spent a lifetime in politics fighting the Clinton machine. You want to talk about what we're going to be up against next year? I'm the only guy on this stage. You know, everybody has an only guy. I'm the only guy this. I'm the only guy that. Well, let me tell you one thing that I am the only guy. The only guy that has consistently fought the Clinton machine every election I was ever in over the past 26 years.
All right. That was one clip. I've got a couple more here that just show you they were two insects in a jar, and the moderators were going to shake the jar up and cause them to fight. It was one of the most asinine things I've ever seen, because they treated the candidates as if they were too stupid to defend themselves. or to know what was going on. It was absolutely crazy. And I think another thing that you'll notice is they were not prepared for this because they didn't know the requisite information. So here is here's another question that comes up, and this is for Ben Carson.
Huh? Dr. Carson, we know you as a physician, but we wanted to ask you about your involvement on some corporate boards, including Costco's. Last year, a marketing study called The Warehouse Retailer the number one gay-friendly brand in America, partly because of its domestic partner benefits. Why would you serve on a company whose policies seem to run counter to your views on homosexuality?
Well, obviously, you don't understand my views on homosexuality. I believe that our Constitution protects everybody, regardless of their sexual orientation or any other aspect. I also believe that marriage is between one man and one woman, and that there is no reason that you can't be perfectly fair to the gay community. They shouldn't automatically assume that because you believe that marriage is between one man and one woman, that you are a homophobe. And this is one of the myths that the left perpetrates on our society. And this is how they frighten people and get people to shut up. You know, that's what the PC culture is all about, and it's destroying this nation. And the fact of the matter is, we, the American people, are not each other's enemies. It's those people who are trying to divide us who are the enemies, and we need to make that very clear to everybody.
One more question. This is a company called Manatech, a maker of nutritional supplements, with which you had a 10-year relationship. They offered claims that they could cure autism, cancer. They paid $7 million to settle a deceptive marketing lawsuit in Texas, and yet your involvement continued. Why?
Well, that's easy to answer. I didn't have an involvement with them. That is total propaganda. And this is what happens in our society, total propaganda. I did a couple of speeches for them. I did speeches for other people. They were paid speeches. It is absolutely absurd to say that I had any kind of a relationship with them. Do I take the product? Yes. I think it's a good product.
To be fair, you were on the homepage of their website with the logo over your shoulder.
If somebody put me on their homepage, they did it without my permission.
Does that not speak to your vetting process or judgment in any way?
No, it speaks to the fact that I don't know that it's going on. They know.
Apparently. We will take a break. We'll be back from Boulder in just a minute.
Totally asinine. I've never seen anything that bad. I mean, these guys didn't even know what they're talking about, the moderators, but it was all gotcha. And it seemed so biased. It was surreal. I honestly, I'm sitting there thinking, is this really happening? Did I doze off or something? And I'm dreaming about this. So anyway, here is the third one. Ted Cruz absolutely crushes this guy and sticks him in the little jar. Check this out.
Congressional Republicans, Democrats, and the White House are about to strike a compromise that would raise the debt limit, prevent a government shutdown, and calm financial markets. That fear of another Washington-created crisis is on the way. Does your opposition to it show that you're not the kind of problem solver American voters want?
You know, let me say something at the outset. The questions that have been asked so far in this debate illustrate why the American people don't trust the media. This is not a cage match. And if you look at the questions, Donald Trump, are you a comic book villain? Ben Carson, can you do math? John Kasich, will you insult two people over here? Marco Rubio, why don't you resign? Jeb Bush, why have your numbers fallen? How about talking about the substantive issues people care about? I'm not finished yet. The contrast with the Democratic debate, where every fawning question from the media was, which of you is more handsome and wise?
So this is a question about the debt limit, which you have 30 seconds left to answer, should you choose to do so.
Let me be clear. The men and women on this stage have more ideas, more experience, more common sense than every participant in the Democratic debate. That debate reflected a debate between the Bolsheviks and the Mensheviks. And nobody watching at home believes that any of the moderators has any intention of voting in a Republican primary. The questions that are being asked shouldn't be trying to get people to tear into each other. It should be, what are your substantive solutions to people?
I just want the record to reflect. I asked you about the debt limit, and I got no answer.
Let me tell you how that works. You don't actually want to hear the answer, John?
You used your time on something else.
Senator Paul? You're not interested in an answer.
John? I'm interested in an answer from Senator Paul.
All right, so that was complete. I mean, I hate to say it again, but it was completely asinine. It was amateur. Just the fact that these guys were called out on what they were doing, trying to basically emasculate, defenestrate, I guess, which is French for push somebody out of a window. They're trying to get them to fight and abuse each other. And, you know, it's, you know, your two of your candidates, are still beating their dog kind of, you know, two of your, opponents are still beating up their kids every day. Can you guess which one it was? It was just absolutely ridiculous. And the sad thing is it was a missed opportunity to get farther into the beliefs of these, and policies of these candidates. And, you know, it was, I think, a testimony to the quality of the field that for the most part, these people, they didn't buy into it, but, they instead, and I thought Ted Cruz was superb. He really put them on their put them in their place by calling him out, and then the kid that or the guy the moderator said well you, he just sounded like a little brown nosing kid in a classroom. Well, you've misused your time. I want the record to reflect that he's misused his time. And it was absurd. It was really surreal. And so I think that all things, you know, being equally considered, I just thought it was a home run for the GOP. I think that it's a realistic thing to say that let's get some moderators in here who would actually vote for these candidates so they're not sneering at them. I saw a number of times when it seemed like the moderators were actually laughing, sometimes openly, at the candidates, and yet they didn't even seem to be prepared for the debate. The moderators, I think the candidates were well prepared, but it was absolutely surreal. I think MSNBC showed that they were not ready for prime time. But I couldn't believe it. Anyway, we will come back. I've got a little bit of weather news, and then we've got two candidates here, Gilbert Vasquez and Rich Hall. And so we're going to come back. I'll give you a little bit of weather when we come back, and then we'll get right into this. Kelly O'Connell, 619, 620, 523-1450 to call in, 523-1450 to call in on AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, and like I said, we'll be right back to talk to get a little weather and talk to the candidates. All right. So like I say, you, if you're out this morning, you noticed that there was some rain. And last night it said that, and here's just some of your headlines here, a pattern change coming in November for the weather. Waiting for the first snows, flood threat in the south. But what we've got, according to what I saw last night, was that there was a weather pattern that was coming across the southwest. And so we've been told repeatedly that we've got this El Nino that's coming our way. And so I don't know if I saved it. Okay, so it doesn't look. It looks like I watched it last night, but didn't necessarily save it. But just take my word for it that we've got we have got some storm weather coming this way based on the direction of the winds and some of the clouds out there that we're in theory supposed to get some weather today. That was last night when I went to bed, probably around 10 o'clock. But anyway, I've got our candidates on, and I am deeply appreciative that they both came on this day. And like I say, for Gilbert, it was very, very much last minute, and he didn't probably know that much about me, but decided to cast fate to the wind, as they say. And so anyway, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Gilbert.
Good morning.
And good morning, Rich. Rich has been on the show one time before.
Good morning.
All right, so we're coming up in the last few days before the election, and it's got to be exciting and maybe a little bit tense.
Yeah, of course. It's getting interesting now. A lot of things coming out. I am a local.
And this is Gilbert, by the way. Go ahead.
And, you know, there's been a lot of misrepresentation out there. I think that...
Well, there's been a couple of stories. If you've been following the news in town, there's been some stories that came out about Gilbert. But Gilbert, why don't we, as opposed to starting with that, why don't we tell the story of who you are, where you're from, where you grew up, what you've done in terms of occupation, that type of thing.
Well, I was born here in Las Cruces, 1957. My family's from here. And I went to grade school here, and then I went to Arizona and got in the pipe fitting trade. And I remained there for 25 years. I worked all over the Southwest. And I've done well. Of course, none of that was reported. But I came back here in 2004. I was working in El Paso and finally retired in 2006 because of a death in my family. My wife. My wife passed, and I had a hard time in 2006 through 2008. Went through a very difficult time, and so I made some mistakes, you know, but I've owned up to a felony, and I've told, this is the ironic part of this whole deal, is that I advised city council when I signed up, you know, for a candidate. I looked for their advice, and I asked them if this was possible. They said there's nothing in the city charter stops you from running. Well, in real small letters, if you look up the city charter, real tiny, you know, it refers to the statute. So after looking that up, you know, I'm not seeking a pardon. You'll see the paper today, and they focus on pardons. I am not seeking a pardon. I'm seeking a restoration of citizen rights, full restoration of just my basic rights. I agree. Suzanne will never probably give me a pardon, and it's a difficult process. And
you might be on the wrong side of the aisle to get a pardon from her, maybe?
I wouldn't say that, because her policies had a lot to do with reforming me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that she believes in reform. And if you do, if you continue using the word reform, then what do you do with reform when it does happen?
Exactly. Now, just to inform people, this is number one, you were charged with a crime a long, long time ago.
Well, this one, yes, I was. 33 years ago.
33 years ago. And
that's just a felony conviction.
Okay, but what was, I mean, just in general, what is the, what were you, I can't remember.
There's an aggravated battery.
Okay, I agree. You got
family feud type
deal,
right?
You got in a little bit of fisticuffs with somebody.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean,
and this is old news.
Yeah, old news, but it was brought out at the last minute.
No, I advised.
Okay.
Like I said.
But it was brought
out. Yeah, it was brought up by the media at the last minute. Correct.
Okay.
And then now they brought up some stuff that happened in 2008, which was I was not convicted of a felony. You know, I was charged with a few misdemeanors.
All right.
And they, you know,
they're piling on at this point.
Right.
All right. So what do you want people to know that you had? I believe when I was reading in, because I was actually searching for, you know, when I first called you, you thought I was calling about this felony. And right. I was actually just calling to try to get you on the air. And as I'm trying to look up your name, this news story comes up. But I remember it had something to do with substance abuse. It was
correct.
Right. So I think if there's one thing that people can understand in this town is that we like our drinks here. We let, you know, we're kind of a hard drinking town here, and there's a lot of DUIs out there, and there's a lot of domestic, what we call DVs in the court system. But there's a lot of stuff that happens at home after people start drinking, and I don't want to say it's part of the culture to defend it, but it's part of the culture as a description of who we are as a community.
Right. And this is more rampant than you can imagine. I only because I've been sober and clean for a number of years can I see that. You know, the alcohol, some people can drink, like you said, and some people can go home and eat and go to bed, you know, and some people just can't. And I was one of those. Now, I've turned around.
You're a 12-stepper, right?
I mean, I'm a 12-stepper.
If you had a friend,
and thank God, you know,
if you met somebody who was struggling with addiction, you'd pull them aside. And I think from the article, it said that you have done this. You've tried to do this as often as possible. You've told them there's a better way, and the way to get out of this is to go through your 12-step program and take it seriously.
Right. And somebody that's serious about cleaning up, when you know, you learn from other people. You know, you don't read this stuff in a book. I heard from other people, hey, you need to do this if you want to change. You have to make a decision, blah, blah, blah. And it goes on, and there's certain things you just got to do. And it's a painful process, but you know what? It's very rewarding after a couple of years. You realize a lot of wrongs, and that's exactly where I'm at now. I'm trying to repay this debt to this community that's exactly what I do. And you know, I talk to people all day long. I work at a hardware store. I don't know how some people make it there. They're drunk first thing in the morning, and it's amazing. But I don't reach out to those people at that time. You know, they might run away.
Yeah.
Because I know I certainly didn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, but I also know that Susanna deals with this. You know, her policies, that's why I had a bit of hope. And you know what? For me, hope is big. Some people, you know, hope is, if you hadn't had any dramatic life change or pain experiences in your life, then you don't.
That's a great point.
I certainly believe you won't have the amount of hope I do. Now, I've been blessed beyond measure in the last 7 years. Gifts from the community, gifts from God.
Mm-hmm.
And my life is totally, totally.
So, I mean, couldn't you almost argue that a person like that coming into political office might have more to offer than the average?
Well, I would. I certainly would. But see, there's a group out there that somehow I responded. And this article in the paper will tell you I responded to this, and they totally tore it apart. And I believe Huckabee last night when he was talking about the media. I mean, you know, you take a 100-word essay, and they turn it into a 500-word essay, all on one or two, three views of their own.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody mentioned that my wife had passed. That's,
mm-hmm.
I went through a great depression. I had two young sons. I'm alone. You know, my family, of course, helped. And you know, I sunk into depression. And I see a lot of soldiers going through that, and they don't mm-hmm. have half the stuff I have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they still battle whatever they battle in their head.
So you feel like, in a sense, you've been reduced to this incident that happened 33 years ago, and the paper has treated you like that's the only thing that's ever happened in your life.
Well, yeah, they're going back and judging me for something that happened 30. Nobody asked my neighbors how I live today. Nobody asked my employer how I live today.
Wouldn't it be fair to say that from your perspective, you don't think they care about that?
Well, I don't think they care. I think I woke up some kind of control in this city because, you know, when the first story came out, I had a lot of people that actually admired the fact and saw the beauty in the change.
Sure.
And then you have that other part that says, man, this guy just might pull this off, you know, and that's when the negativity started.
Well, as a society, we are broadly Christian. That's something we talk about on the show. And the story of the Bible, I mean, the story of Jesus, the story of the apostles and everything is it's failure and redemption, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
I am the prodigal son. There's no other way to put it.
Well, I think it's great to have somebody like you running, somebody who's been through. I mean, and I see Richard is shaking his head here in agreement. It is great to have somebody who's been in the process, who's been in, had experiences like these, that brings the kind of wisdom that only happens through these type of experiences, right? I mean, how could you identify with someone who's in trouble with the law? How could you identify with someone who lost a reputation unless you'd been through it? We've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show.
Good morning, Kelly. This is Emily.
Emily, good morning to you. Thanks for calling in. What's up?
No, I was just listening to Gilbert. Are you taking calls?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. You know what? I read his article. I think it was yesterday. I would totally vote for him. I work with offenders who are in recovery, and I appreciate people that have an opportunity to change their life around, be honest, and make amends. And like the 12-step program says, keep moving forward. So
yeah,
I commend him. I vote for him.
Well, I really appreciate the call, Emily. Have a good day. All right, folks, got to take a break here, but I would tend to agree with that. I wouldn't take a mistake somebody had made in their past and say this person shouldn't be part of society. They are part of society, and I sense a real honesty and a humbleness in Gilbert. And it is a shame how the media does stuff, you know?
It is.
Well, folks, we're going to come back, and I don't know what's going on in the second hour, but you guys are more than welcome to stay in the second hour if you're scheduled. But we can spend some more time talking to Gilbert, and we also have Rich Hall here. It is District Number 4, and I'll tell you my attempts to try to get Mr. Ekman on the show, which were somewhat painful themselves. 6:35, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces. 1450 KOB, 523-1450, and we're going to be right back. We're going to talk to Gilbert a little more in Rich Hall, District 4, and that race, that vote is coming right up, right around the corner.
I'm quite sure that you never knew all the pain that I've been through, even this morning.
Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
This is Mike. Can you put me on hold? I'd like to make a comment about Gilbert.
Absolutely. I'll put you on hold. And we're talking maybe 2 minutes. So just hang in there. Okay, Mike?
That's perfect. Thanks.
Thank you. Kelly here, 6:38. I got Mike on hold. He wants to say something about Gilbert, but I tried to get the third person on the show. Ekman, whatever his name is, Jack. And really ran into a bandsaw when I called up the house, and I was informed that he was eating breakfast, and in no uncertain terms, I was not going to interrupt this. And then I was fortunate to be able to talk to Mr. Ekman. It was polite enough, and said that he was so worn out every morning from walking his district that he couldn't possibly make it this early. But I do appreciate his sentiments. Mike, thanks for the call, and you had something to say about Gilbert.
Yeah, thanks, Kelly. Hi. I've known Gilbert for the past 7 or 8 years, and I've seen that change, and I've seen what he gives back to the community. And, you know, I read the article in the paper, and to me, the article said, here's a guy that paid for what he did 33 years ago, and he's changed his life. Well, I've seen that change, and I know what he's put back in the community, and I know he really struggled with running for this office because of his background that he chose to run, and that took a huge amount of courage. So,
of course it did.
My vote goes to Gilbert.
I appreciate that, Mike. A first-person testimonial, you can't beat that. Thanks for listening. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, folks. This whole society, go back to the Old Testament. David, King David, Moses. I mean, you got people involved with significant crimes, much bigger than Gilbert could have dreamed of. And they're not only rehabilitated, but they become foundational in our society. And, you know, I mean, George Bush, wasn't he picked up for drinking like 15 years before he, I mean, I don't know. It's in the, you know, maybe some people feel like he should have been left in the town jail, but The fact of the matter is that probably the most powerful message in our society in the history of the West is this idea of, you know, I was once lost, but now I'm found. So, Gilbert, I do take off my hat to you. And whether you win or lose, I think it takes a hell of a lot of courage to run. And you knew your past would be dragged up at some point.
Yeah.
So, I think it's a testimony. I think I think that the town should be grateful that you ran.
Well, thank you, Kelly. You know, I've dealt with faith-based organizations that have no faith, and I don't know why they're. You know, nobody brought this up early. They brought it up at the last.
Yeah, that's gotcha.
I would have answered it. I would have answered it at any time. I'm not ashamed of my. In fact, I informed them. Like I said, yeah. I got to stress that. Because people think, well, why did you run if you knew this was going to come up? Because I believe in, I have hope.
Let me ask you something. In your opinion, where did this come from? If you told the party or you told city council and they knew about it, wasn't it city council that brought it out?
I don't know. You know, I got a phone call from Diane Alba saying, you know, this, we got to talk about this. And she, of course, didn't tell me where it came from. But, I mean, the whole city, there's a lot of people that know me. So, I'm not going to point fingers. It doesn't matter at this point. But I also saw, I didn't know Richard was running. And at the time, this is another factor that you know, made me come to this conclusion or this decision to run, was the fact that I went and saw Jack speak. I was looking for someone to support. But I saw somebody that I could not support. You know what I mean? I totally saw views that were against mine. And he's a good man. Don't get me wrong.
He's a good man, but let's just, since he's not here, and I can't really represent him. I mean, other than talking to the person that answered his phone and that experience, which was to be totally honest, was absolutely surreal. Basically, how in the bleep did you get this number? But what does he stand for? Just so people can know.
Well, from what I saw, he went to a hospital when I went to his announcement, and then I saw who's in this corner, and I just saw how basically the torch was passed to him by Nathan Small.
Nathan, please don't call me Tiny Small. Pass the torch to him.
And
no wonder he,
you know, he
burned.
Basically endorsed him. If Nathan were a real statesman, he would have stood up at the very end, like right now, and endorsed him.
Nathan, I know you're listening. Endorse somebody. Call in.
But, you know, this happened back in the beginning of September. Yeah. So, I mean, when I saw that, I was shocked at what I was looking at. So I said, no, this has already been agreed on. This race almost seemed like it was decided at that point. So it kind of
A coronation.
And it disturbed me. I went home. I told my wife, man, God. And I didn't know Richard was running. I didn't know until the day we signed up. If I would have, nobody else had announced, you know, that I
saw. So in your mind, you were doing it because nobody else was stepping up to the plate.
Well, I couldn't see Wes Picacho. I could not see Wes Picacho.
You couldn't see Wes Picacho being represented by this guy. I'm going to finish the sentence for you. We got a phone call here. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Ted.
Ted, good morning. What's up?
Good morning. I have a little advice for Mr. Vasquez. Mr. Vasquez, please don't let your feelings get hurt. God is in the business of forgiveness. It doesn't appear to me that Susana Martina is in that same business. So please don't let your feelings get hurt and go out and do something stupid like drive a car and get drunk or something like that.
Well, Ted, that's generous of you. And God is in the business of forgiveness. Broadly speaking, the 12-step program is very successful, regardless of what your concept of God is, right?
Exactly. But like I said, don't let your feelings get hurt. These guys that run for any office have to have a terribly thick skin.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for the call, Ted. All right, folks, we got a little weather here. Going to come back and talk to Gilbert and Rich Hall just a little bit more. Rich Hall's voice is shot, but we're going to try to get a little bit out of him. It's 6:45, Kelly O'Connell Show, 523-1450 on 1450 KOBE. 523-1450, and we'll be right back.
For your letter on the floor.
You got it.
7 long years of moving through the streets, letting people in, but they don't talk to me, they look right through that morning.
All right, folks, Kelly here, and I've got just delighted to have Gilbert Vasquez and Rich Hall. Rich Hall's fighting a little bit of laryngitis this morning, but I have just been given some information that Mr. Ekman, however you pronounce it, has just moved into our city and is running for office, and kind of reminds me of Wayne Hancock, and also Nathan, please don't call me Tiny Small, had moved here not long before. Olga Petroza, I was just informed, was living in Mexico, retired when they asked her to show up here. I'd like to know what's going on with our city. Gentlemen.
Oh, wow.
This is Gilbert Vasquez.
Again, I'm a local. I saw a process here that disturbed me. And so back to the point of why I'm running, you know, even with my background, I don't want a certain faction of society to dictate to the rest of us how we should live. So I jumped in there because I could not see somebody like Mr. Ekman, and I wish he was here. He knows my position.
But, I mean, let's get this straight. You went to hear him, Mr. Ekman, give a speech, and when you heard the speech, you couldn't believe it and said, I am not going to allow my people that I grew up around, that I live around, to be represented by this guy. That's a fact. We got a phone call here. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
It's Pedro.
Pedro, good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to say something that's not going to go over very well with your guest there, but...
go ahead.
You know, I don't think that you should, as a felon, convicted felon, I disagree with... Kelly, I disagree with you. I don't think you should be allowed to run for public office. I think that running for public office and representing the people is a reward for living a good life, your whole life. And I appreciate the fact that you say you've been clean and that you've tried to turn over a new leaf and all that. But a third-degree felony is a serious offense, and that's what you were convicted of. What were you charged with? What other things have you done that would merit you unworthy of being elected to public office? I don't know that. And I don't mean to judge you, but you've already been judged by somebody. And I disagree. I don't think you should be eligible for holding that office. I'm sorry.
Pedro? Thanks, Pedro. Gilbert?
Well, there's people like Pedro that believe their way, and that's the power of the vote. He has a right to vote however he wishes.
Well, Pedro, let me ask you this. Let's just say he went to this meeting, he saw Mr. Ekman, and he said, I feel like I have to jump in this because nobody else, this guy's been brought in from out of town. He's, we're being set up again, and I feel like nobody else is even going to get in.
You know, that's a crying shame that this city cannot produce or willing to run for office. And I realized that maybe that's what is your name Gilbert or
Gilbert, Gilbert, yes sir. Right? Yeah.
Well, Pedro, let me ask you this. Pedro, why do we have to import these people from other other local, it's not like they're coming in from Tucson or from El Paso. We're bringing in people from thousands of miles away to run our city like we're like a bunch of nincompoops. So why can't we get local people? And I that's why I'm sympathetic to Gilbert. He went to...
I understand.
Yeah, you know, go ahead.
No, I understand your sentiment, Kelly. And just because somebody is not from here does not mean they cannot bring in new and good ideas.
Pedro, let me ask you this, though. Tell me the good and wonderful ideas that Wayne Hancock has brought in.
I agree with you that. What I was going to say is,
yeah, go ahead.
We've been burned so many times on that portion of it. I agree 100% with you.
You know what my wife says, Pedro? the more crack the pot, the more light will shine through.
Well, I
and if you don't believe in change, then that's fine. That's your opinion, and you have that power of the vote. But I know that I am no less honest today than any one of these guys running. And if somebody would have ran that, so to speak, could represent that, I would have known at that time, I wouldn't have run. But we're one of the things that I think we can agree on here is the fact that nobody wants this office anymore. It seems like, you know, we have to bring in people. We have to really search for people because they're tired of this process that comes down to the final hour, like here, where they start, you know, this is, people have told me, why in the world would you do such a thing, Gilbert? And, you know, my response is simple. Nobody else did.
Yeah, can I interject for a second?
Like I said, I knew that my comments were not going to be
welcome. Pedro, that's okay. We always appreciate your calls. You've always got a good point, whether everybody agrees with it or not. Thanks for the call. We're running out of time. Rich, go ahead. We got to take a break, but go ahead.
Real quick, I think that Gilbert was in the same position as I was. I did not know Gilbert was going to enter the race. He did not know I was going to enter the race. So both of us said to ourselves, we need to have someone go against this progressive liberal agenda.
Yeah.
Why I entered.
Let me just say one thing, and this is maybe as a result of being an attorney and spending my time around a lot of so-called bad people. Sometimes you meet criminals and you think, I like this person better than I like the DA involved in the case. Or you think about all the people that you run into, and there's sometimes a breath of fresh air quality about people that don't have perfect records that, I don't know. It's more realistic. 6:55, Kelly O'Connell. We're going to be right back and finish up this hour. Then we're going to carry on with Rich and Gilbert. I find his story compelling, and he may not be a perfect candidate, but he is a local who saw a need and he decided to step in, knowing he would take it. He'd take a lot of criticisms. 6:55 a.m. Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450. Agree or disagree? Your comments are welcome here. Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
Hi, Kelly. It's Betty.
Hey, what's up?
I was listening to the radio, and I can't hear. You know, it is extremely hypocritical of the Progressive Voter Alliance here to criticize Gilbert when Progress Now New Mexico just helped Pat Davis get elected to the city council in Albuquerque.
Hold on.
He was
convicted
of a DWI.
Betty, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Let me put you on hold. We'll bring it on. There'll just be a little bit of time, but I'll let you on. Just hit your point fast, okay?
Yeah, you know what? Your speaker's also going in and out.
Well, just wait. I'm going to bring you on the air, okay? Just wait. Make your point on the air. Can you hear me?
Okay. I can, but it's going in and out.
That's fine. Just make your point on the air. Hold on.
You're listening to AM Las Cruces with Kelly O'Connor on KOBE. There's no better place to be.
All right, folks, we've got Betty here, and you have a quick point to make, Betty?
Yes, I wanted to say that the Progress Now New Mexico group based out of Albuquerque just helped elect Pat Davis to the Albuquerque City Council, who was previously convicted of a DWI. So the Progressive Voter Alliance in Las Cruces attacking Gilbert is at the very least hypocritical.
Absolutely. Can you call back the next hour? We're out of time. Thank you. All right, folks, we got Gilbert Vasquez here. We got Rich Hall. We'll be back. Thanks for tuning in. This is great radio, local radio. You want to know what's happening in your town? Listening right now, is tell you everything you need to know. 6:59, Kelly O'Connell Show. There's somebody else calling. Pedro's a little bit harder. Who the hell are you? To cover up? Been there, man. Well, it's Kelly here, and we've got two candidates, Rich Hall for District 4, and also for we've got the Gilbert Vasquez for Ed. Gilbert's been in the news a little bit, and we've talked about that last hour. His experiences with, I guess, from one side, a little bit of an issue on law and order, and the other side is redemption, you know, failure and redemption. We've got a call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Tom. What was the weapon used in the aggravated assault case?
It was a firearm.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thanks. All right, folks. I'm going to play for you a little clip from the debate. The debate was absolutely ridiculous. Just totally surreal last night, and in a way, it kind of almost kind of represents what's going on in this city. That you've got a group of elitists that are trying to run everything, and then you've got the average person who can't believe it. Some of the stuff here is Chris Christie responding to CNBC's Harwood.
Governor Christie, you've said something that many in your party do not believe, which is that climate change is undeniable, that human activity contributes to it. And you said, quote, the question is, what do we do to deal with it? So what do we do?
Well, first of First off, what we don't do is do what Hillary Clinton and John Kerry and Barack Obama want us to do, which is their solution for everything. Put more taxes on it, give more money to Washington, D.C., and then they'll fix it. Well, there's no evidence that they can fix anything in Washington.
What should we do?
What we should do is to be investing in all types of energy, John. All types of energy. And I've laid out...
In government?
No. John, do you want me to answer or you want to answer? Because I got to tell you the truth. Even in New Jersey, what you're doing is called rude. So... we've laid out a national...
All right, so that's the one part of that I wanted to get to. But here's a little bit of some of the reactions of people who thought that this debate was an absurd example of leftism running amok. I've never seen moderators in a political debate laugh.
And now with more, Chris Steyerwalt, digital politics editor,
I think what we're seeing on this a little bit is Gilbert Vasquez's experiences. His record is brought up and it's trashed, rightly or wrongly, according to what you know, it's each person has to decide. But the contempt, the level of contempt, and anybody who runs for office, I take my hat off to him. But here's a response to the train wreck that was last night that really exposed CNBC as a complete laughingstock.
With more, Chris Steyerwalt, our Fox News digital politics editor, and Howie Kurtz, host of Fox News' Media Buzz. Wow. I mean, for Reince Priebus to come out and say CNBC ought to be ashamed of itself. And let me start with you on this, Howie, because CNBC came out and said, that's what we get paid to do, ask hard questions. That's going to be the defense. It's extraordinary.
Megan, this was an absolute train wreck for CNBC. Many of the moderators' questions seemed to me to be snide, hostile, condescending, borderline insulting. And let me just make clear, I'm totally in favor of tough and provocative questions. You know, as
everyone
well as anyone, when you do that, sometimes the audience doesn't like it, sometimes the candidates don't like it. But a lot of these questions were not drilling down on facts or record or policy. When John Howard says, Trump, comic book campaign, or does he have the moral authority to be president? When Carl Quintanilla asks Marco Rubio, who had a good night, by the way, are you a young man in a hurry? Shouldn't you have waited a few years to run for president? It just validated what a lot of people think about the mainstream media and this channel that's affiliated, of course, with NBC News, that they cannot be fair to Republicans. Mm-hmm. It was a disaster for all of us in the news business.
The thing is, Steyerwalt, and Steyerwalt was in those debates.
All right, so I don't know how else to put it to you, but it wasn't just a failure on any one particular level. It was a failure across the board, and what it really did was it brought to the forefront the kind of things that it was actually they did a favor to America by exposing the idiocy of far leftism when put into a news setting. Now, here is Charles Krauthammer on this debate last night, which had some of the most surreal moments. I've never seen moderators laugh openly at candidates. If somebody told me that, I wouldn't have believed it. Check this out. And this is, by the way, Charles Krauthammer, and it is Bill O'Reilly.
Tomorrow he'll be here on The Factor, and I'll ask him about that. And that's a memo. Now for the top story reaction. Joining us from Washington, Charles Krauthammer. What's the headline for you tonight, Charles?
Well, I think the headline for me is the one for you. This is the most appalling performance by the moderators that I can remember seeing in a debate. They were overreaching. They were getting in the way. And they were, in the end, obnoxious. And I think what they did is they were able to set themselves up as the foils for the Republicans. So I think it actually strengthened the field and made them look better. The second headline, I think, was that Trump, it was the first non-Trump-centric debate. It wasn't about him.
I agree with that. It was good for Trump, I think, because he showed some restraint. It was good for the other candidates because basically people were able to see that there's more to these candidates than just Donald Trump up there. It doesn't hurt Trump. And it helped the other candidates. So I think that this debate, ironically, was as helpful as any. Here's a little bit from Hannity and Cruz on this debacle.
The questions that have been asked so far in this debate illustrate why the American people don't trust the media. This is not a cage match. How about talking about the substantive issues people care about? I'm not finished yet. The contrast with the Democratic debate, where every fawning question from the media was, which of you is more handsome and wise?
All right, that was Senator Ted Cruz with what I think was the line of tonight's GOP debate. He joins us now with reaction from Boulder, Colorado. Senator, I would argue you changed the entire trajectory of that debate, which if I was a judge, I would say the candidates combined beat the moderators who were taking the Democratic Party line. That went over extremely well. Explain.
Well, Sean, look, we've seen now over and over again where the media, they are the Democrats' cheerleaders. And in these debates, media tries. Every question is an insult. Every question is an attack. Every question is asking one Republican to attack another Republican. You know, they don't do that to the Democrats. The Democrats, they give them each a chance to talk about what they believe in. And I got to say, Sean, one of the most ridiculous things, why is it that we keep having debates where the moderators, no one in their right minds thinks any of the moderators actually will vote in a Republican primary? In my view, Republican primary debates ought to be moderated by people who would vote in a primary. How about a debate moderated by Sean Hannity and Mark Levin and Rush Limbaugh? Now, that would be a debate.
All right. So good point there. Why would you have someone moderate a debate in which it's clear that they have contempt and scorn for the candidates? And I mean, you know, it's we understand that a great number of the people in the media are on the left or they're Democrats or whatever. But why allow that to spill over and ruin a debate when it's quite possible that one of these Republicans will be the next president? Here's something from Rubio on the same topic.
If I may just say, Mr. Trump, you had talked a little bit about Marco Rubio. I think you called him Mark Zuckerberg's personal senator because he was in favor of the H-1B.
I never said that.
So this was an erroneous article the whole way around?
You've got another gentleman in Florida who happens to be a very nice guy, but not
my apologies. I'm sorry.
He's really doing some bad facts.
Since I've been mentioned, can I respond?
Yes, okay.
You know, the Democrats have the ultimate super PAC. It's called the mainstream media. Whoever single day. Last week, Hillary Clinton went before a committee. She admitted she had sent emails to her family saying, hey, this attack in Benghazi was caused by al-Qaeda-like elements. She spent over a week telling the families of those victims and the American people that it was because of a video. And yet the mainstream media is going around saying it was the greatest week in Hillary Clinton's campaign. It was the week she got exposed as a liar. It was the week that she got exposed as a liar. But she has her super PAC helping her out, the American mainstream media.
All right, so the stunning point I thought there, and here is the reaction to this debate last night, and then we're going to get back and we're going to talk to Gilbert and Rich about the District 4 race.
And his focus group. Frank?
Megan, I've been doing this since 1996, and tonight is a special moment. I've never tested in any primary debate a line that scored as well as this. It was all about what was wrong with the CNBC moderators and what's wrong with the media. The best line of the entire debate is the one you're going to hear right now.
The questions that have been asked so far in this debate illustrate why the American people don't trust the media. This is not a cage match. And if you look at the questions, Donald Trump, are you a comic book villain? Ben Carson, can you do math? John Kasich, will you insult two people over here? Marco Rubio, why don't you resign? Jeb Bush, why have your numbers fallen? How about talking about the substantive issues people care about?
So let's ask the question. How many of you think CNBC should be ashamed of what they did tonight? Let's hear you.
Yeah.
How many of you are angry about it?
Yeah.
So what's the problem?
They're arrogant. They don't respect the process of a presidential debate. They ask got you questions. What's the
issue? Angry. They should be ashamed of themselves, but I'm also grateful because then it got the fire in the bellies of the candidates going, and I appreciated that.
So you thought it made them perform better?
Yes.
I vote for my position, and it's the media.
You guys agree with that?
Yes.
Megan, that comment from Ted Cruz was incredibly important for his campaign. But there were two other candidates that delivered really powerful statements that actually changed the minds of our Iowa voters. And we're going to show you those candidates and those clips a little later on in your show.
We're looking forward to it, Frank. Thank you. Joining me now with more, Chris Steierwalt, our Fox News digital politics editor, and Howie Kurtz, host of Fox News' Media Buzz.
And I think we've already heard that. So anyway, we're going to come back and talk to Rich Hall and Gilbert Vasquez. Kelly O'Connell, 7:18, and today is the 29th of October, coming up on freaking Halloween. Can you believe it? Go get some candy for the kids. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450, 523-1450, and we'll be right back to talk to Rich and Gilbert.
Still out of the way from my little room, because I got to go back soon.
Yeah, Kelly here, 7:23, and I wanted to let you know that I've reached out to Cassandra Gandara, and she's thinking about coming on the show, and I talked to Eli Guzman last night, the Goose, and Eli told me that he's going to be coming on, and I can't remember who I invited Friday and Monday, and we'll just fill it up with candidates, because I know the election's here. So anyway, we've talked about Gilbert. Gilbert's here in the studio. There's been some controversy out in the community. If you're listening to the last hour, then you heard Pedro call up and excoriate Gilbert. But Gilbert has an interesting story. The history of Judaism and Christianity is built on a murderer. Moses murdered someone, and then he spent the next 80 years dealing with it before God uses him. So. I think the story of failure and redemption is deeply rooted in this culture, and I think a lot of people are going to, whether Gilbert wins this election or not, and I understand that the odds are against him with the stuff in the newspaper, but I think people are going to come up and tell him that thank you for standing up for the community, and I admire you. Thanks for the call. I'm going to put you on hold. This is Kelly. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Pedro.
Pedro, let me put you on hold, and I'll be right back. I got another caller. Hold on. Yeah, thanks for the call. Who's this?
This is Eric.
Yeah, Eric, thanks for the call. Hope you're well, and what's going on?
Yeah, I'm curious because I was reading the article, and Gilbert's conviction is 33 years old. I don't think it should bar him from running, but he hasn't gotten a pardon yet. According to the governor's office, the paperwork was filled out wrong. If he were to win, He can't sit on that seat until he gets a pardon. What's he going to do?
I don't know. I mean, I will personally help him fill out the paperwork if he wins. I mean, I don't think he's going to win. Let's be totally honest. We're all adults here. He's had a tremendous amount of negative publicity, but I'll help him fill it out. But so Gilbert, what are you going to do if you do get elected?
Well, first of all, they keep throwing the word pardon out there. I'm not seeking a pardon. Now, it would be something a little less than a pardon, which is called, if you look up the statutes, it says it clearly, a pardon, the only way I can serve office would be a pardon or a full restoration of rights, a certificate of full restoration. Now, the key word in those two is or, pardon or. Now, I'm not looking to own a gun again, and that's what I'm seeking. Part of my rights have been restored. Now, it would, you know, I believe the paperwork, it's kind of like an application to something, you know, you do what you can and then they want, you know, something else. And that's what happened, except that they're 5 hours away. But it is in the process of getting back on our desk, and we'll see, you know, like Kelly said, the odds are against me because of the media and they're judging me on what happened, you know, 33 years ago, 7 years ago versus yesterday. Another issue with Susanna is if I were to be elected, her being a local, you know,
I think your chances of getting the governor to do anything to restore your rights or a pardon
are slim to none. You're right.
Very, very, very thin.
Right.
Slim to none. That woman doesn't have any sympathy or compassion in that hard little coal chunk in her chest.
Well, she also got to remember, Susanna's policies is what helped me straighten out. You know, she was big on reform. So if you're preaching reform, and her whole tenure here as a district attorney was reform.
Yeah, so, but she didn't. She may have said that, but she didn't act that way.
I agree.
And my big thing is, I would vote for you. I actually am considering voting for you. But if I vote for you and you can't serve, then I kind of feel like I've thrown my vote away. I've got no problem with you running, winning, and serving. I just don't think you can serve, and I don't think you're going to get any justice from Santa Fe.
Okay.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for the call. Good call. Folks, when I say to Gilbert, I'll help him fill it out, that doesn't mean I'm voting for him or supporting him. But my job as an attorney is to help people. I like stories like this. I like stories where people have turned it around. And we've got another call. Pedro, are you there? Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Walter.
Yeah, Walter, thanks for calling in. Turn down that radio, and what's on your mind?
Well, you know, the thing that I see with, and my radio is completely off.
Oh, okay, I hear an echo.
The thing I see about this is now we're trying to make Susanna look like the bad person, that she won't issue this pardon. This is not Susanna that got the conviction 33 years ago. It was Mr. Vasquez. And there seems to be this feeling out there that he's entitled to this pardon or this restoration of rights. And since Susanna's a bad person, we won't get it for her.
Well, let me
the point here.
Yeah, it sounds like you're from the Deep South. The Deep South is a place of honor and duels and stuff like that. But certainly even in the Deep South, isn't there a sense of rehabilitation? Go ahead.
Of course there's rehabilitation, but the thing is, there's consequences for actions. And as you said, Moses had to be it many, many years before he was used as the Lord's servant. And so Mr. Vasquez seems to be thinking that, well, I've done changed my life around, and so I should get this pardon and this restoration of rights, even though I don't even meet the policies.
Maybe you missed the first part of the show. I said the reason I ran was because I didn't see anyone else stepping up. You know, that's what I saw. Now, I would have gladly supported someone else if I would have known what I know today. But until that day, I did not see anybody that I could support.
And I understand that, and I recognize that.
And this is getting difficult.
Anybody other than this progressive movement that's out there would be there, greatly appreciated. Mr. Vasquez, I like your story, and I think you really have made some changes, and I think you would be a good person.
But answer me one question. Answer me one question, please. How many lifetimes would it take somebody to forgive? Do you think it should be 60 years instead of 30? You think I didn't kill anybody. I didn't rape any children. I didn't take any women hostage. I'm not a predator. It was this was 33 years ago. And yes, I've had scraps with the law. I was a substance abuser, you know.
But the policies from the governor are that you have to be a certain number of years without an arrest. And you have not had that. From what I read, in 2008, you were back in jail again.
Well, those were misdemeanors again. I think people are arrested for, you know, I don't have the same rights as the next person if I get pulled in for a misdemeanor. If I don't pay a traffic ticket, a warrant's put out for me. See, to me, this comes up. To you, you go on. Now, I'm still paid the same.
I never got a felony conviction.
Well,
but I mean, isn't this, and it sounds like, are you a member of the Sons of the Confederacy, sir?
No, sir, I'm not.
Well, but you could be. You could be. And hold on. My point here is that the South was rehabilitated. An entire giant section of our country was dedicated to slavery. And do you support slavery today, sir?
No.
You've been rehabilitated.
I mean, that's a horrible thing.
You've been rehabilitated yourself. If an entire part of the country can be rehabilitated, can't this one man in Dona Ana?
But being rehabilitated, him changing his life around, does not necessarily mean that he's entitled to be.
Of course I'm not entitled.
He's entitled to have this particular position that he can be part of.
Nope.
There's consequences for our actions, and that's part of our problem with society is nobody wants to accept the consequences. Well, and consequences can follow us for our whole lives sometimes.
Just like an STD. Thank you for the call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Tyler.
Tyler, thank you for calling in. I hope you're doing well, and what's on your mind?
First of all, can I just get a recap on what the crime was?
It was assault.
Aggravated battery with a firearm.
Okay. I guess my thing is the average person, I mean, I don't know if it's true or not, but they always say the average person commits like 3 felonies a day. And I think it's inspirational that somebody who does have a criminal record, who isn't this textbook perfect person, has decided to step up and make decisions in society.
Tyler, I agree.
And I think Pedro is, I've heard him the last 3 days. He's had nothing nice to say about anyone, so I don't think that should mean anything to you, Gilbert.
Thanks for the call, Tyler. Thanks for the call. Kelly O'Connell Show, who's this?
It's Pedro again, sorry.
No, it's all right. I'm sorry. I put you on hold just because you had already called in and I was going to get you after the next call, but go ahead.
That's perfectly fine. I had something else going on. Kelly, you said I excoriated the guy. When I called, I thought I was very civil.
Well, Pedro, you're always very civil.
Nice.
You're always always very
you
nice.
You say you want dialogue, and a lot of times you cut people off.
Well,
you didn't allow me to mention the fact that, well, what does the victim of this guy think?
All right,
Does the victim have a voice?
Pedro, can I ask you one thing? Did you not talk for several minutes? I don't really feel like I cut you off. It's just the nature of this show with the ads in the short amount of time and all the calls coming in. I'm trying to make the most of the time.
Very well. The victim, okay? Then you mentioned Moses. Well, actually, Moses was chosen by God. Are you comparing this guy to Moses?
I'm saying, let me respond, because if you give me 7 points, I won't remember them all, unless I respond at the moment. I think there's a redemption story that I would bet everything in my bank account that you yourself buy into. You buy into this general idea of failure and redemption that is the foundation of our society. I know you do. I've talked to you enough to know that.
I do, but that does not include running for public office. As Walter was trying to say, consequences come with it. Of what happened, I feel sorry for this gentleman. He sounds nice as can be.
Well, don't feel sorry for him, Pedro. Please don't. The fact is, I was up front. The fact is, I am perfectly allowed to run under our current city charter. Okay, that's the fact. I didn't just slide in there and say, I'm here. Vote for me. You know, it was a process, and I admitted to these people, and they encouraged me as well.
They probably tried to set you up. Go ahead, Pedro.
Okay. He was going by the city charter. How about state law? That's already spelled out.
Well, let me ask you, Pedro.
Pedro,
let me ask you one thing. If he comes down there and says, I want to sign up for this, and this is my background, and they didn't tell him, that's their job. If they didn't tell him, if they didn't advise him, isn't that on the city a little bit?
As an attorney, does that cut it, Kelly?
Well, no,
Pedro.
Hold on. It depends if you're on the if you're a prosecutor or a defense attorney. You know that,
right?
Oh, well, talking to a prosecutor.
Let me ask you this, Kelly.
But see, Pedro,
hold on.
If he wanted to pass the state bar exam and wanted to be an attorney with a felony on his record, would he be allowed to practice law?
Well, now that's a great question. It depends. You can in the same way that some people are allowed in certain states to practice law without a law degree because they passed the bar itself. You can also the state bar has the ability to bring people in. The state bar will look at the person's history. The state bar will decide whether someone has the character and fitness to serve. Pedro, I've got to go. Was there any other important points? I don't want to cut you off.
There is one more important point.
Hurry.
Kelly, in jury selection,
yeah,
are there not certain classes of people who are not picked for juries?
You mean like racists? Well,
my God, I've been on a jury twice, Pedro.
Racist
police officers. Go ahead.
Proctologists.
They've called me for jury duty twice.
Fun of it, just like you did with Walter.
What's that?
And then you want to crack a joke, just like you did with Walter, to shut him up, down.
Just trying to have a little fun. Pedro.
Points, and then you try to get funny.
Pedro, thank you for calling, and God bless you. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Briefly.
Hold on. Thank you for calling in. Who's this?
Jerry.
Jerry, yeah, just briefly. We're running out of time.
Yes, sir. Kelly, I'm getting feedback for your thing. Sounds like the atomic clock on the AM site.
Okay.
It's besides the normal sun spreading. But it sounds like you're getting the feedback.
Okay, thank you very much. Mike, we'll be right back after the break. Yeah, sorry about the atomic noise there, folks. We'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell Show got Gilbert and Rich Hall. We got to get Rich Hall on this on the line here in just a second. Get him on the microphone. And we have Mike here. Thanks for your patience, Mike. What's on your mind? He wasn't patient. Thanks for not being patient, Mike. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Is this Mike?
Hey, Kelly.
Mike, when you're on hold, just stay on hold. You don't have to hang up and redial if I'm on an ad. But go ahead.
The guy that's coming in from out of town.
Is this a puzzle or what?
No, it's the guy that's going to be running against.
He's already running. He's in the race. His name is Eichmann, and I strongly advise you to call his house early in the morning if you need a.
Can you get him on the show?
He was nice enough. The person who answered his phone was the human equivalent of a guard dog in a junkyard. But
what's he hiding?
What is he hiding? Is this a poker game? He's got an inside straight, Mike.
The people know who he is.
All right. So what I've been told, I don't have any way to verify this, and it's just a few days from the election. He's lived here 14 months. I've been told this. Haven't verified it. I've been told that he's lived here for 14 months and that he was moved in here by the PVA, I guess. I don't know if that's true. Maybe he just moved here and he went to a PVA meeting and they said, why don't you run? I don't know if he's involved with the PVA. That's all I've heard is that he is a hospital administrator. Some people claim he wants to build a hospital here. I don't know anything about the guy. If he was on the show, he could talk about himself. But he told me he's walking and canvassing so much at night, he's too worn out to get up in the morning, which was verified when I was not allowed to interrupt his breakfast.
Kelly, all I have to say is beware of the man with no extra grain.
All right, because he really does have an extra grain. Thank you. All right, so Richard Hall is here. He's been very, very patient. He's also got laryngitis, which has helped out. But, Richard, you've been on once before. Give people a little bit of your background.
Okay. I've lived in Las Cruces 16 years. We moved here in 1999, my wife and I and our stepson. I coach for Cruces Gymnastics Academy. It's a nonprofit gym. And it started in 1999 as well. I've been coaching 16 years here. I also have two small businesses. You might know of one, Cinnamon Roasted Nuts in the Mesilla Valley Mall. It's a seasonal business. We'll be opening November 6th coming up. And also I have a small construction company. I build sheds and carports, garages, small, light construction work. Been doing that for about 12 years. And Kelly, my vision for Las Cruces is simple. I would like to see lower taxes, less regulations and fees, and a safer community. So I'm running essentially because I want to see things stop getting worse.
I want to get to one thing that you said, though, either on or off the air, was that you were also concerned, you were alarmed when you saw the other candidate. And both of you guys, I would say, Gilbert, my impression is you're maybe a little bit more liberal than Richard, but it seems like you guys are representing a spectrum of Las Cruces that the average person could identify with. You could be a Republican, you could be a Democrat, but you're a little bit conservative and you're very interested in your community and you've got strong ties here. And then you see this other person and you don't, you can't say that about them.
Exactly. I saw in Jack Eckman, the continuation of what Las Cruces has had. And I said to myself, someone has to oppose this. So I decided to run and I did not know about Gilbert at the time.
Okay. So, and you know, it's been a baptism by fire for Gilbert, but, What do you hope to bring the city?
Well, I would like our citizens to keep more of their own money. Southern New Mexico has so many attractions. We've got White Sands, a great national monument. We've got the spaceport, which of course is not off the ground yet, but I think it's going to be a great draw in the future. We are the chili capital of the world. That's an awesome attraction. Pecan orchards. We have the largest family-owned pecan company in the world, the Salopec family. And I'm really proud of them. We also have the NASA test facility. My dad was a big part of that. He worked for them back in the 60s, and then he moved back here in the 70s, 80s, and 90s and worked at the test facility as an engineer. So I'm really proud of Southern New Mexico. My goal is to just turn things to make the jobs more available to the people. I would love to serve the people of District 4 and, you know, listen to their causes and concerns, and I want to represent them.
Okay, well, thank you for coming on, and we're going to the time got away from me a little bit on our ads, but we'll be right back to talk to Rich in just a moment. 7:46. Real delighted you guys came on the show today. Very grateful. And folks, 7:46. You're listening to AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE. 523-1450. That's 523-1450. The goose is hanging low. Eli Guzman's going to be coming on the show. But you mentioned something off the air, Gilbert, and when I called you.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of discouraged with all the the bad publicity that's coming out because nobody's asking me what I do today, what I've done in the last few years. And nobody's asked me why things went south.
So anyways,
he called me up and I was surprised. I said, man, is it about the felony? He says, no, I'm a freaking lawyer. You said I'm a lawyer. I hear about felonies all day. It'll be, you know, and that was encouraging.
All right. So if you have a felony, feel free to call my office. Yeah, I won't be offended. I won't be shocked. Well, okay, so Rich Hall is Rich. You know, it seems like you've had a pretty good time in this election, and you had asked, and actually we got together and had lunch, and you said, I'm thinking about running for office. I listened to your show, and will you meet me and give me your opinion on that? And so, you know, like I like to meet people, and so I didn't know anything about you, so anyway, you came on we went out to lunch and everything, and now. It seems to me you've really kind of found your legs and you're enjoying the campaign.
Very much so. You know, walking many of the streets, meeting with the people that live in Las Cruces and meeting with business owners and leaders. It's just obvious that we need common sense candidates running for city council. And I believe we have that in the people that are running. You know, like I said, I didn't know Gilbert was running. So had I known, I might have thought second thoughts, but I don't have any second thoughts
well,
now.
Well, I mean, you know, and
I'm glad I'm running.
There is, you know, Gilbert has got some stuff to take care of if he gets elected. But what I like, and I didn't know, I knew you and so been on the show and I was fond of you. I didn't know that I would develop a man crush on Gilbert here. But I really admire people who've been knocked down and get up again.
Exactly.
And somebody who looks at their community and say, I care enough about this community. I want to serve it. And that's what I hear. I hear from both you guys.
Yeah. And when they called me about Gilbert's situation, I said, I'm a firm believer in second chances. I think anyone that picks themselves up, wants to rebuild their life and, you know, move on, that's the way life is and it should be for everyone. So, you know, I just want to see Las Cruces have someone represent them that will listen. I've had so many people tell me, I called, you know, my representative, and he just didn't call me back. Or I tried to get some results and never got any
answers. Okay, folks, talking here with Richard Hall, who's running for District 4, and Gilbert Vasquez, who's been in the news. He's running for, you know, I'm looking and, you know, you read people through body posture and through what they say as well. I don't feel like Gilbert, you're regretting you ran. It seems like in your own way, even though you're in the midst of this controversy, you're having a good time.
Well, it takes courage to get up here and take the whipping I have, especially, you know, in sound bites.
The guy that Roosevelt said it's the person in the arena who matters.
There's nothing the Las Cruces, even the, you know, I respect all's opinion, and there's, you know, through my life experience, there's nothing I can say to somebody that doesn't agree.
All right, folks, we're going to take our last break and be back here and talk to Richard and Gilbert with parting shots. And I just want to say I don't endorse candidates, but I'm thrilled to get anybody on who's running. And I know that you're also interested in hearing where people are coming from. 753 Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450. That's 523 1450. You can call in even if you're a Kentucky colonel. Please feel free to call in. We'll be right back.
Look right through me all the time. I'm going to give you every part of me, but you get all the.
It's Kelly's here, and we're talking to two candidates. Third one would not come in, but for Nathan, please don't call me Tiny's smallest old seat. And we're just real grateful. I thought it's been an interesting show with Gilbert, and Rich has barely had a word to say with his laryngitis. But guys, we're coming up to the last few days. What do you want people to know about you? Why vote for Rich Hall? Why vote for Gilbert Vasquez?
Well, number one, I'd be short to consider that Gilbert has had some great ideas. I've heard some things from him that I like. And whoever wins, I would like them to adopt all the good ideas that will help our city. One is he recommended having meetings at Benavides Center on a regular basis. And I believe that's a smart and great idea to get the public involved. And but as a business owner, I know what small businesses go through. I know the regulations, the red tape. And I believe that if we can cut that and make it simpler to open a business, we have families in Las Cruces that would love to have their own mom and pop business. And if we can make that possible, it will create more jobs for the people and higher paying jobs. So I would ask for your vote November 3rd, because I believe we can make Las Cruces a great place to live. And I would ask Gilbert if he doesn't mind to endorse me if he feels it's a willing thing to do.
I'd be glad to work with Rick if he were elected. At this point, I don't know if anything I say would help him. You know,
could be the kiss of death.
Could be
huh?
the kiss of death, right? But I would certainly help him. You know, one of the things that I don't give up faith or hope. One of the things that I'm interested in is if you're tired of local politics, if you're tired of the city council being where it's at and taxing us to death and adopting programs that really don't make sense to the public, do vote for me. If you know, the vote is not thrown away. There's a process here. If I ended up getting elected, that tells me two things. You didn't want the other side. The sad part is me and Rick might split some votes. But at the same time, it's your call.
Thanks for coming on. Very, very brave of you to come on. We really appreciate it with all the controversy. But I'm impressed, Gilbert and Rich. I just appreciate you coming on as well, and good luck in the race. Thanks for listening. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, and we'll take you out. We'll meet you back in 22 hours. I've got some more candidates coming on tomorrow, so make sure you tune in.
Yeah. They don't talk to me. They look like